Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's Andrew Kisner, who swings and hits one high and deep out into left. Kelnick going back to the wall. It's gone! Andrew Kisner hits his first home run as a Texas Ranger. It comes with two men on, and it gives Texas a 4-3 lead.
Good morning, Metroplex. This is your home of Texas Rangers baseball. They get a win yesterday against the Atlanta Braves. A much, much, much deserved day off. And they've escaped all this still at the top of the American League West. Don't apologize right now for the division that you play in. Just be happy and grateful. One game over 500, day off today. And they'll take on the Seattle Mariners starting tomorrow. RJ Choppy is here with some Diamond Cavs.
You know, you just mentioned it. What place are they in?
Numero uno.
Huh.
First. However you say first in Spanish.
I do believe that is numero uno.
Oh.
That's interesting. I did notice this over the weekend. This is the current World Series favorites from Fangraphs. Now, Fangraphs is a pretty good website.
Yeah.
I think it's really, really good. It's one of the better statistical websites out there in Major League Baseball. And
You guys agree on an analytical statistical website.
Yeah.
That's very rare.
Yeah, it's a good one.
We agree on what's good. We just don't usually agree on how to apply it.
You don't agree on PFF.
Oh, yeah, that's true. PFF is trash. You're wrong on that.
So they have like their percent chance of winning the World Series. And they're pretty good with their projections generally. Tell me what's missing here. The Braves are first, 22%. Dodgers at 16%. Yankees at 9%. Houston at 7%. Orioles at 7%. Rays at 5%. Mariners at 4%. Phillies at 4%. Jays at 3%. D-backs at 3%. It's a little insulting.
I mean, it makes sense. The Astros, they get the same number of percentage points that they have victories currently. 7.
The Astros are 7-16. Yet, according to Fangraphs, at the fourth best chance and odds of winning the World Series. Now, look, I mean, there's 150 games left, or 140. Like, there's a million games. Picking up five games is nothing over the course of, you know, 5.5 months. But I don't know. If you're a first place team, you're probably a little bit insulted by this.
It's very early, like you just said, or whatever else. But, I mean, you're talking about if the season ended today, the Astros, now they got the lottery system and everything, but the Astros being in line for the fourth pick in the draft, which isn't that just what we need,
yeah,
by the way?
I
just
know,
like,
right?
Take a year off, reset. Stack up with some more talent, and then just make a run again.
This is the perfect type of win-win bet for me. Like, I'd be willing to bet anyone right now that they finish in the playoffs. And if I win, I win the money. If I lose, I still win because they missed the playoffs.
Because they missed the playoffs.
Yeah. So I would sit there and be like, they're going to finish first or second in the American League West. I would take the value right now. And that is a win-win for me.
Absolutely. I totally agree. It's a fantastic way to play that. So anyway, maybe the Rangers are a little bit insulted by that one. I don't know how the Astros are fourth. I just don't understand that one.
It's that whole toxic Alabama deference thinking. It's the same thing they're applying right now to Houston. They're just like, well, they'll figure it out.
Yeah. Now, I do think, and this is a bigger point. We are in 2024. I don't know that we need divisions anymore. Like, the fact that you could be 500 and make the playoffs, I don't like that. If you're going to have a 90-win team or an 88-win team miss because somebody geographically happens to be in a division that you won with 81 wins, you know, I think we need to get rid of the divisions. If you're gonna be a balanced schedule anyway, and it is a balanced schedule now, or more balanced than it used to be, then just take your top seven and go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with divisions as long as they make geographical sense. And, like, as long as if they promote, you know, rivalry due to geography and everything else, like, I'm all for that. And if you want to say two divisions instead of three, you're less likely to spit out a 500 team being, you know, in the playoffs.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree. Totally agree. All right. Why would anybody want to go play in this city?
Jacksonville.
No. Same coastline, but different. Aaron Judge is struggling this year, to say the least. Not playing good baseball at all. He is not even hitting his weight. Not even close. Batting, 183 on the year. He weighs a lot more than 183 pounds. His OPS is under 675.
And they're in first place. 15-7.
Juan Soto's kind of carrying the team. Been fantastic.
Then you say, Bobby, the Rangers would be in last in the AL East.
Yeah, they would be the last place team in the AL East. Toronto right now, I think, or Tampa. Tampa or Toronto, one of them, they would be tied for the AL West lead.
Tampa's 12-11 in last.
And they're in last. But why would you ever want to play in this city?
Do you know who has the least amount of wins in Major League Baseball? Don't say it if you look
at
Chicago.
Yeah.
You know how many wins?
Three?
Yeah. They're 3-18.
As of Friday.
3-18, their run differential is what?
Oh, gosh. -67.
They actually have a... No, I'm kidding. -71. -71.
As of Friday, the Cincinnati Reds have scored the most runs at Comiskey Park, or whatever they call it now. They had scored more runs there than the White Sox had all year.
Yeah.
That was as of Friday. Aaron Judge is an MVP. He has...
Face of the franchise.
Face of the franchise. The most home runs in American League history in a single season. And here he is getting booed at his own ballpark.
Swing and a miss. Judge has struck out four times today.
Oh, yeah.
Why would anyone play there? Why would anyone who doesn't have to sign up for that?
Got
to
meet the moment. We're going to elevate your game.
Yeah.
We're going to get you focused.
Yeah, all these meatheads on Twitter. Oh, you can't handle it here. You're just tougher here. You guys are losers. I'm sorry. You're just losers. All you are.
Can you imagine after Corey Seager struck out four times the other night, him getting booed?
Booed?
At the Globe after winning World Series MVP?
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. Like, this is one of the 25 best power hitters the game's ever seen.
Now, it's okay to boo Giancarlo, right, if he... stinking it up, striking
it
out.
That's been consistent, right? Yeah. And he never plays. Now, Judge has had injury issues, but, I mean, Judge has been pretty damn good when he plays. Like, that's, I don't know. That's low.
Yeah, but, I mean, this is also...
Like, Luka goes with a scoreless...
Ooh, that's a good analogy right there. I don't know that I could ever envision...
No.
A...
Here?
Yeah.
Definitely not here.
Essentially a three-week stretch leading to Luka being booed.
Like a crowd, like, come on, let's go, like, let's get it going a little bit. Not booed.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's also the same Mavericks crowd, though, that stood up and applauded during warm-ups when Lamar Odom jogged back onto the court after being gone for a few days. So,
speaking of the Yankees, make fun of them a little bit more.
Nothing wrong with that.
They gave John Sterling a ceremony, Bobby. They gave Sterling a ceremony. His retirement gift.
Oh, man, this is, I don't.
A rotary phone.
I don't believe, it's not far off.
No. It was an 83-inch TV.
Come on, man.
They went to Best Buy.
Come on.
You can actually finally see the game.
They went to the Wiz. They went to the Wiz and said, nobody beats us. No. And we're going to give them an 83-inch TV.
No.
What a...
No way.
They're worth like $10 billion. They gave him an 80... They couldn't even spring for the 85-inch.
I didn't even know they made 83s.
I saw the story, 83 inch. I didn't even know they made 83 inches.
An 83 inch television?
They gave him a TV. I hope it wasn't like a Seiko. And they gave a Seiko. I hope it was like at least a Samsung or a LG or a Sony.
Hisense.
I have a Hisense.
Hey, I do too.
A Hisense.
That lasted me outside.
A Hisense.
And so they also gave him a sweet personalized jersey with the number 5,631. There's no jersey that looks sweeter than four digits on it.
Four digits with a comma.
So they gave him a personalized jersey.
Yeah.
And an 83-inch television. I got Peyton, research, please. Like the worst retirement gifts handed out by sports teams. I'm serious.
What was the?
Look at this. They're carrying it out.
Yeah.
They're carrying out the LG box.
That's all. At least it's an LG.
Why are they? Look at this. They're carrying it out the LG box with the big brown cardboard like my TV guy Mike brings into my home. And then Mike leaves the box there. They leave the box on the field. Like, you're responsible for that.
That is weird.
You're responsible for the pickup.
How is the crowd supposed to react to that? Like, and here is a new TV. Where's the showcase girls from Price is Right?
Bro, look at this. An LG obviously has to be a sponsor. They're bringing out the cardboard box. Ryan, you got to get this video.
What an unbelievable video. What was it the A's did last year that everybody was mocking for a retirement gift?
They gave a bottle of wine, but it was like a cheap bottle.
Cowboys
Josh wine.
Yeah, it was. They found it was a $70 bottle of wine from Miguel Cabrera.
Which is
$70 bottle.
Which is the worst gift? Giving the TV's got to be worse actually, because like Miguel Cabrera is not even. That's a visiting player.
But the looking at this TV box, look at this LG OLED. Like you couldn't have gotten like the Samsung frame.
Yeah,
like some artwork. Like you know, like a $3,000. How much is this? How much is this LG OLED 83-inch? We got some Tolos who work in this industry. Hit me up. Let me know how much this thing is. This is criminal.
This is
despicable.
It's okay. So there's it depends on what series it is, but you can get the high series is like $5,000. There's a $7,000 one. There's a $21,000 one.
Amazing.
Wow.
This is amazing. This is like when your boss gives you a pizza party at the end of the month instead of a bonus. This is awesome.
I mean, honestly, like I said, like I'm not even joking. Like the dude clearly had trouble seeing at the end.
He did. He needed maybe they should have sprung for the 100.
Is that them like also like tongue in cheek being like, here you can finally be able to see the game.
See the game.
Like you couldn't give him anything like custom made like.
Yeah, give him like a subway tile of like
microphone. Like Brad Sham has more than this, and he's not even retired.
Yeah, give him. There you go. Give him a microphone.
Yeah,
it's
nobody wants to hear him anymore. I can't blame them for not giving that idiot a microphone. He's the worst.
Awesome.
Yeah, very awesome.
Awesome.
Is Yamamoto already a bust?
Uh oh.
Dodgers fans already tweeting Yamamoto stinks. He gets lit up again. He's, so he had like the three straight pitching triple crowns in Japan. He came into his fifth start against the Mets on Friday. He had a 4.5 ERA in 16 innings. Didn't get any better. He gave up four runs on seven hits in six innings. Again, it's very early on, but they are already with he can't pitch well. He stinks. Yeah. The Dodgers stink. What a bust. 11.5 more years of this.
And what's the ERA?
It was 4.5 and it didn't get any better. So we're talking now. Get his ERA right now up for you.
They should have got Jordan Montgomery.
4.50.
4.50.
Yeah. He had 6 innings, 3 runs, which is 4.50 anyway.
All downhill after what he did to the Rangers in Arizona. All downhill from
all
there.
All downhill.
Ever since then, he is just.
Otani's betting against them.
That's what's happening.
You think they're in on it together? They're just working bets together, something like that. He is not. I think we've become so accustomed to guys coming over too from like whenever they get posted and they end up signing over here that just naturally because they're really good and then there's an adjustment period, we're not used to seeing them get rocked at all early on. Like you had a lot of success early on, Otani, guys like that. But man, this is if even during the adjustment period guys are getting a beat on you, that seems like a bad omen.
We'll go below the belt coming up at 8:40. Dak Prescott says, I'm not trying to reset the market. What was the drop? Not necessarily trying to reset the quarterback market, but speaking of QBs in the great state of Texas, do we have a little controversy after what the Phenom did in Austin? Let's talk about it next on The Fan.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
One-on-one on Dove, 10 seconds. Murphy screams. McCollum jumped at by Wallace, 7 seconds. 40 feet away, crossing over. Ball knocked away. McCollum goes back to get it, 3 seconds. Wide left, pump fakes, leans in for 3, angle left. No good! It's over. The Thunder win game one, 94-92. Celebrate, Oklahoma City, celebrate!
Celebrate!
Another Maverick money ball!
Matt Pinto
speaks so fast.
Do you have any background with him?
I mean, like, obviously I don't know him. I grew up with him as an announcer. The only thing I know is I've heard from people that he's very bitter about not being with the Mavericks.
Yeah, he did not like not returning.
I just hit that call he used to always have with the three-pointer. Cha-ching, another Maverick buddy ball. This is always, oh gosh, okay.
How young is he?
He's probably around Falwell's age, maybe a little older.
Okay. Can you imagine? Now, this is just Overreaction Monday. None of us are panicking or freaking out. We all think the Mavericks are still winning the series. You picked him in 5. I picked him in 6. Bobby, you went 6.
Yep.
Dirk went 6. And Pepe?
I went 7.
You went 7. All right. So Payton right now is looking pretty solid. Can you just imagine, though, if they somehow lost this series with Kawhi out and Oklahoma City gets, like, taken out in the second round?
Yeah.
Your path that it was there for you to the Western Conference Finals as OKC struggled. They were losing late. To the Pelicans yesterday without Zion, even though the Thunder ended up with the win.
Celebrate Oklahoma State. They had a chance to celebrate. Yeah, that would have been, because they're gettable. I think this is the year to get OKC. This is the year to get it. After this year, I think that, you know, obviously this is the general progression of an NBA team. You lose early on in the playoffs when you've never been there before, historically. You know, and I think yesterday showed a lot of it over the weekend with OKC that, you know, this is not a good Pelicans team. You know, Zion ain't there. This is a hobbled team, and they gave them every possible thing they could throw at him. And I do think if you're New Orleans, you're like, all right, man, we kind of blew that. That was it. That was our chance to get that game.
Yep.
And who knows what's going to happen in the subsequent games? You've got to get this Thunder team early.
Yeah, I mean, what was the, like? I mean, we saw Oklahoma City struggling while the Pelicans didn't have Zion, and, you know, the Mavericks have their issues. You then have the Pacers who aren't able to take advantage of no Giannis. I mean, the only team that, like, really just dominated and took advantage of somebody being missing was Boston. Like, Boston just absolutely throttled the Heat without Jimmy Butler. But everybody else, all these teams that were missing their stars, it's like all the other teams just sort of played it a little light. They weren't able to take advantage of that big player missing.
Do we have a little quarterback battle developing in Austin? After what Arch Manning did in the Texas Orange and White spring game. 3 touchdowns, 355 yards passing, went 19 of 25 with 2 separate 75-yard touchdown throws. Lit it up for the Longhorns, did Arch.
Lit it up. Started 10 of 10, a 75-yard TD on his first pass attempt. First half, 11 of 13 for 189 with 2 TDs. His first incompletion didn't come to within 12 seconds left in the second quarter. Like, just an amazing, amazing day in the spring game. And, I mean, he was slanging it. Now, it's a major step. There's no doubt he's capable. We know there's not a controversy here. Quinn's going to be...
Yeah, Quinn's got the job.
Quinn's a favorite for the Heisman Trophy.
The favorite of the Heisman Trophy is not going to be sitting here losing his job with this, to somebody else.
Is he the favorite?
Yes. For the Heisman, yeah, he's the favorite. Him and Beck are the two guys at the top.
Me and Bobby want to see Arch, Pepe, I think, and Choppy, full support of Quinn. But I'm like, bring me the excitement. Bring me something new.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's see the phenom. Let's see the family roll on out there in Austin.
But, I mean, Arch looked like a regular Michael Penix out there, the way he was torching the Longhorn secondary in the spring game.
Let me give you my observation from this. I haven't seen anyone else say this, but I went and watched all the throws. The big takeaway from this is the Texas secondary on these plays.
Oh, yeah.
These guys were running free.
They were wide open.
By like 10 yards, they were running free. I was waiting to see. The only thing I could pick apart, all right, did Arch make them wait? Was he not on time or really accurate? But these defenders got left.
It was like Kyle Shanahan was drawing up plays out there. Just wide open.
Yes.
Wide, the blank open.
Or Matt LaFleur against us.
Yeah. It was a great statistical day. I was about to, you know, I was going to come in and say sort of the same thing.
You were?
I was going to lean into, I'll lean into the character of like, hey, he's about to, you know, he's about to be Caleb Williams or whatever else. But I'll be honest, like, not only was it all generally open, like, here's the only thing I'll say about Arch from what I've seen so far. And I don't want to be considered a negative Nancy to the Longhorns fans.
You're a Longhorn fan.
I know, but I don't.
Despite Brian Broaddus' role.
But people, exactly. People have said I'm too negative on them before, right? Or I don't act pro Texas enough. When I've watched him throw, the little sample size doesn't look.
He's got an interesting release.
It doesn't look like super impressive coming out of his hand. Like it just, it doesn't look like the same way it does with other big, like the ball coming out of Malik Murphy's hand and coming out of Malik Murphy who transferred to Duke, coming out of Quinn Ewers' hand. When I watch it, it looks more impressive. Like the velocity and the way that they throw the ball, it looks more impressive. But again, Arch is still developing, still coming along. I mean, he was playing against basically charter schools when he was in high school. So,
but that didn't hurt his uncles. I mean, they kind of
I'm saying just a little bit of a curve where you're hoping to come along, and he's more athletic than his uncles.
Pepe, yes. You are a Longhorn fan when you're allowed to be. What do you make of all this? Are you getting hype off this?
Yeah, it does improve my confidence a little bit. But I mean, with Arch Manning, but I'm still Quinn Ewers. I mean, and starting for the team. I mean, he knows the offense better. But yeah, no, it does change my confidence a little bit because I mean, last spring game last year it was awful for Arch, and even during the season, a couple throws he had were kind of off. But yeah, Bobby's right. It doesn't look impressive, but I mean, I still have confidence that he will be a starter at UT eventually.
I want Arch for the storyline, and I want to be. Like, it's the same reason.
Man, Quinn's got a lot of disrespect.
No, I know. Look, Quinn's biggest problem, and it always has been, is consistency. Is just being consistent.
Yeah. Like, the final four.
When he's on, it's really, really good. But
it's like having, I don't, that's fine, but you're supposed to have LeBron James. All right? So LeBron James is not supposed to come off the bench.
Well, Quinn was initially supposed to be LeBron James, and he just is not.
And we've seen it. That's the society that we're in. Evan Carter's Quinn Ewers. Enough. Off to the side. I'm 90% joking. But Wyatt Langford is Arch? That's what I want to see. Yeah. Bring in the new hype.
Yeah,
if Tennessee got a prospect, if you all had Arch Manning, you'd be dying to see it play on the field, too.
We did last year, and he sat. Nico, and now he's like, let's see, he's fifth in the Heisman right now? Sixth, something like that?
Yeah.
He sat.
Sixth year?
He sat.
Fifth year, sixth?
He sat last year for Joe Milton. You know, because they just didn't play the freshman. They're like, all right, we're going to redshirt you or whatever. But
yeah,
he played the bowl game. That's it.
Meanwhile, Choppy, you are not happy. This is one of your more interesting takes. Not happy with the University of Michigan.
I'm not happy with Michigan at all.
Yeah.
They don't care about sports.
Wait till you hear this, Bobby.
They care enough to cheat.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine. But
shout out to Mooney DeMere.
This is the third straight year that they have denied entry to a transfer student, the top transfer in basketball. Last year was Caleb Love. He went from Carolina to Arizona. He had initially committed to Michigan, but they said, nah, you don't qualify to get in. Michigan basically only takes, if you're not a grad transfer, unless you're coming from an Ivy League school, they say no. North Carolina is not some crap school. It's one of the best state schools in the country. It's just as good of a school as Michigan, no matter what Michigan wants to think. But they said, nah, we're not taking you. You don't meet our qualifications. Like screw you. You just hired Dusty May. You spent all this money to buy him out at FAU. You spent all this money to sign him. You're paying out Juwan Howard's contract, and now you're not going to let him bring the top transfer in the country to your school because he may not fit your grades? They ain't there to play school, you morons. They're there to play basketball. The moment the NIL came into play, it stopped being about athletes and students. It started being just about athletes. They'll go to school when they want to, just as Shedeur Sanders, okay? It's not about that. Y'all are not interested in sports, and I don't care. I hate Michigan anyway.
So you're killing them for being too interested in academics.
Yeah, because we shouldn't be interested in academics. They're not there to play school. Academics don't matter, okay? Yeah. Nobody goes to watch a chemistry teacher. They go to watch the basketball team. They go to watch the football team. So don't ever let you tell me, that's not English, don't ever tell me that school matters. School doesn't matter. Athletics matters.
Fair.
And you wonder why Luca doesn't, and Julian, which one is like, I'm not going to college. And Chubby's like, all right, cool.
Oh, no, Julian's smart. Luca's got, he's you know, ABC, you're the top three, whatever.
Here's my only question.
Is Luca the one that doesn't want to go right now?
No, he wants to go.
You said you were fine with one.
I'm fine if they don't want to go. They want to go, but they want to go to play baseball.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not to win anything important.
So they go, Dad, like, should I go to class? Like, I've been blowing it off for 3 weeks. You think I should go? You're going to say no.
No, I would say you absolutely should go to class. Okay, if I'm paying for it, if you're there, you better go to class.
Okay.
Here's the only question I have. Is there still a high level, 30 years later, is there still a high level of scrutiny for the Michigan basketball program? Like, internally, are they like, we had so much issue with the Fab Five and then Robert Traylor and everybody else. Like, is that just one of those ones where it's like, we can never.
And now the Harbaugh heat, like you.
Yeah. Like, is the basketball program.
They got punished, didn't they? Like, last week, something came out.
It was a slap on the wrist.
It was nothing. But specifically for the basketball program, I wonder, with everything that went on with the 90s, like, when Steve Fisher was there and everything else, like, I wonder if Michigan's basketball program is just one of those ones where it's like, you can't take your foot off the brake. Like you take your foot off the gas at all. Like, you have to have these standards with this program because we're going to be under extra scrutiny for how things have been here.
Good question. Fair question.
I mean, at some point you get past that, right? Like, SMU's not paying for, like, they got the death penalty in the 80s for the SMU football program. People aren't, like, scrutinizing that the same anymore, I wouldn't think. But I just wonder if because of their history, and now specifically, like, you mentioned the recruiting violations and everything else that they've been punished for in football, if there's just a like super high standard right now for like, nope, we got to be above board. We can't cause any issues for ourselves right now.
He's like, so Davis had been at FAU for 4 years, hadn't graduated. They want you to have a certain amount of credit hours to transfer in. And according to the reports on, you know, they basically, if you're not coming from an Ivy League school or you're not a graduate transfer, you ain't getting in. Well, whoop-dee-doo. Congratulations on your accredited AAU credited thingy. Nobody cares. Have fun being Vanderbilt.
Hey, my godson's going there.
Yeah, it's a great school.
Yeah,
great he's school. About to turn that. He's about to turn that program around.
It's a great good. School. Yeah. How about athletics?
What really matters. All right, back to the Mavs at 9. The Hockey Hawk Gavin Spittle preview Stars game 1 tonight at 9:20. Pepe will be there, but did Dak Prescott just give the Cowboys the green light to pay up? That's next in Below the Belt on the home of the Cowboys.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not. Are the Cowboys about to test the timeless adage? The more you F around, the more you're going to find out. Seems like they've put Dak Prescott in. And look, I know that there's a large portion of the audience. What would you say it is right now, guys, that are would rather reset than extend Dak? Half? Is it half the fan base? Less, maybe?
It's pretty split. It's pretty split.
Yeah, I think it's roughly 50. If it trends one more one way than the other, I'd say probably a little more want him extended, but it's close. It's definitely close.
No fan that I've spoken with has the fear of having the Quincy Carter run. You know what I mean? It's just like he doesn't have it. And I'm like, yeah, but like, what is your existence going to be for 7 or 8 years if you don't find the replacement, if you don't get something as good? But no one that I've spoken with in conversation is he's either good enough, team around him, or he's not the guy. It's never like the fear of, which I think we think about that more in our job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do than you would as a fan. As a fan, you've made up your mind whether he's good enough or not. And you don't think about like the quarterback purgatory. You're just like 60 mil, like. And you also don't think of like the leapfrog game that has to happen in the NFL. More often than not, as a fan, you're just saying Dak Prescott is going to be the highest paid player in the National Football League. That is effing stupid. And I get it. I get it. It's, you know, from our view on things, it's the way it has to happen in the NFL.
Well, it does.
I've hated that. I hate the leapfrog aspect in football. Yeah. And as a fan, you're just like, what? They paid him that much money. They're stupid. Well, like, they kind of have
it's
to.
Just, yeah, that's how they get salaries to continuously go up. You know, they've got a and that's part of the problem. You know, the salary cap goes up X amount a year. Generally, positions get percentage of the salary cap. That's just how it works. I agree, though.
If you take when he signed $40 million for $40 million annually in 2021, the spring of 2021, that was with a $182.5 million salary cap. So the salary cap today is $265. So if he were to sign today, the equivalent to that now would be that he gets $58 million a year. Like, if you're just going to say, if he's committed to the idea of like, when I sign, I need to be, as a lot of agents are, you need to be this percentage of the cap. Like, that's where the annual value needs to be when the contract is signed. Because, of course, $40 million now... Like I said, that's...
Yeah, we tried that in our negotiations with cost of living.
Yeah. Yeah, that was rebuffed with great prejudice.
I think the Cowboys should get the Odyssey people to do their negotiating. They'd be better off. Like, Jerry would have all the pie left.
Yeah. I mean, they'd still sign just as many players.
Well, that's the thing, is that they're still going to have their same approach. They'll break up the pie. They'll do things different. And you asked earlier today, Sean, and we'll get to the Dak quotes here in just a sec, but you asked earlier today.
Actually, we are basically the Cowboys. It's identical.
I know, right?
Forget about doing a different job where it's the same thing.
You asked earlier today, Sean, the idea of... of
Gavin Spittle in studio 920.
Like, if they are... I'm losing my thoughts now.
I know, I'm sorry.
If you asked earlier today the idea of like, well, if Dak gets something done, like, would they be more willing, or like, do you think they'd say like, hey, get this done, and like, you know, we'll gladly pay that out? Obviously, quarterback is the only one we feel like team success, team advancement is applied to them, right? Like, it doesn't apply to the left tackle. Well, we only made it to the wild card round, so we're not going to give it to you. So, keeping that in mind, I don't know that there's any argument or the Cowboys have displayed that they are willing to go based off of your results, because CeeDee Lamb has done everything you would want to be able to say, fine, here it is, blank check, whatever you ask for, because you've shown us at every turn you're going to up your play, and he hasn't done it.
Yeah.
And
I think you can argue CeeDee should be more pissed off right now than Dak.
Sure.
You could argue that.
Dak has been paid. I'll be honest. In fact, let's just play the Dak audio. We're going to come back to the point, because what he says here, I think, is important. This is Cut 15. Dak was at a charity event over the weekend with Troy Aikman and Tony Romo.
Ben Affleck.
And he was asked while he was out there at the event about his thoughts on his future in Dallas and if he has any concern about, you know, things coming to an end here and having to go on somewhere else.
I'm not going to say I fear being here or not. I don't fear either situation, to be candid with you. I love this game and love to play and love to better myself as a player and my teammates around me. Right now it's with the Dallas Cowboys. It's where I want to be, and that's where I am, and that's the focus. And after the season, we'll see where we're at, and if the future holds that, then if not, we'll go from there.
Have we ever, in any context, as bad as negotiations got or anything else, I can't remember, have we ever had a moment where Dak talked about a potential future where he's not here?
Can't recall.
I don't think he's ever said anything like that, and I think that speaks to where things are. We've talked about this on the air, behind the scenes, everything else, that for the last year, this is the most tired I think Dak has been. Not in the DeMarcus Lawrence sense, but in the idea of, like, this is a beating to be the quarterback of this reality show, as Trayvon Diggs would not call it. Of just being in charge of this and having to keep a steady hand over everything,
It
becomes exhausting.
All right, let me ask you this. Is it possible to avoid all that if you're just not on social media?
No. Not at the quarterback.
Every TV. Go to an airport. Just go to the facility. Right? Walking through. It's like when you go to a Major League Baseball clubhouse they have on MLB Network. Everywhere you go, it's like by default, the first fake shows are on. You cannot sit at an airport bar, and they're just being talked about nonstop. They're in the 24th pick, and we're sitting here talking about what they're going to do.
I would have I understand what you're saying. If you're a team like the Cowboys, why even have TVs on? If you're trying to block out the noise. You can't block out the noise and have
– They're not.
Which is why that's always been –
They don't want to block out the noise.
Noise, even if they wanted to, though. Like, even if McCarthy wanted to do that, anything else.
Yeah, Mike would.
That is the worst phrase that gets thrown around about the Cowboys. Block out the noise. That is not realistic here.
No. That's why I'm trying to tell Trayvon Diggs, and Diggs is up in my DMs, like, please don't make us a reality show. Hello?
McFly.
Hello?
You can block out best you can. That's about it.
Go to the office upstairs to the big man. Yeah. And that's part of the reason, to his credit. That's his greatest achievement. Bassick is right. Maybe after Jimmy. To have them talked about like this despite doing nothing.
I don't have a problem with the way the Cowboys do their branding. I don't have a problem with the way the Cowboys operate and the entity that they want to be and how they want to operate, that's completely fine. And I think you can win doing that way. You just have to make sure that you have the right people in place who can thrive in this area. I remember Kalyvon Chase on when he was coming out of LSU. I had asked him, I got to interview him leading up to the draft, and I knew that Dallas had been considering him and had him like in mind as somebody that they were interested in. And I always ask people like that of like, well, what would it be like to play for the Cowboys if the Cowboys have interest? Just to get a quote from the Cowboys. And he gave me, I remember he paused and paraphrasing said something to the effect of like, it's a great challenge. He's like, because if you go to Dallas, he's like, that is either going to make you and you are going to thrive because that's the environment you thrive in, or it will break you. But like that's something that like some people just, they cannot handle that spotlight. They can't handle the heat of the attention and the pressure and everything else. And that, for all their, you know, people have asked before, like, why don't the Cowboys draft more guys from smaller schools? Why don't they get guys from here? That part of the pedigree thing that they're evaluating is like, I need to know you can handle this. Like, I can't guess that, you know, when you were playing at Northwestern Oklahoma Baptist, like, that you have any clue. And even smaller than that.
Yeah.
Like, about just something like UAB. I need to know you can handle Georgia. I need to know you can handle Ohio State. I need to know you can handle these big programs. Dak Prescott was also asked about the idea of just trying to squeeze the Cowboys for every dollar and being the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to be the highest paid necessarily.
So I'll wait until negotiations begin, and obviously want to put this team in the best situation.
Like you said, John, there's a difference between a comma and an ellipses.
Yep, that was a semicolon. Ellipses. That was a period.
I thought it was a pause. I thought I was hearing team-friendly deal at first.
No.
I thought that's what we were getting.
You were hearing a misspeak and then a correction.
Yeah, it'd be nice if it's good to have that awareness to know you just misspoke and then correct it immediately.
Correction. So what does that mean necessarily?
I think that he's talking semantics. I don't need to be the highest raw contract value. I don't need the highest signing bonus. I don't need the highest guaranteed money. I don't need the highest annual value. I think, you know what it means is when he says, I don't need to be the highest paid, we talk in terms in the analyst community and among the fans and everything else. Highest paid generally means highest average. So people think, how much are you making per year? I think what Dak's saying is, I don't have to be the highest paid per year because that is not what I consider the highest value. So it's a semantics thing where I think for Dak, he views it as guaranteed money or new money as a percentage of the salary cap, or they have other different definitions for it that he would like to definitely be in the conversation for highest paid in certain areas. But from the average annual value, you could tell me he's making $60 million a year. If, you know, it's an Amari Cooper deal where Amari Cooper, the first 2 years of his contract were guaranteed and nothing in the back half, he probably doesn't have interest in that, even though that would make him the highest paid in terms of the way that things are reported. But I don't think that, I think what he's talking about is a semantics thing. I don't have to make $60 million a year, quote unquote.
Necessarily.
But you need to hit certain markers here for sure. And I think that that's the way that he's approaching it.
877-881-1053, Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line to hit us up. We're not just your home of the World Series chance. We are your home of the Cowboys as well. We'll preview Game 1 Stars Vegas at 9:20 with the Hockey Hawk Gavin Spittle live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. But how bad was yesterday? Did the Mavericks absolutely blow it with the Kawhi news? We'll recap Game 1 and get you ready for Game 1 on the ice. Final hour, Monday edition, right after this.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.